keys to victory. What do the 49ers have to do to beat the New Orleans Saints Sunday? We'll get into the latest injury report. Some new news finally on Arik Armstead and some other 49ers. Short injury report, luckily, though, for the Niners. Pretty healthy heading into week 12. We'll jump into the live chat as well. Coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Arik Crocker coming at you as always at BD Peacock at Arik underscore Crocker. Thanks for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Today's episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Croc, it's a home team for the 49ers and an away game for us right now here on this Friday episode of Locked On 49ers. You are at a hotel in a town. I don't even know where you are traveling around the country right now. At the in-laws.
I'm in Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix. Okay, there we go. Phoenix, Arizona. And in enemy territory there. Probably not too many happy football fans with you and the 49ers right now after the drubbing on Monday Night Football. Croc on his way back to Arkansas. I am in my old hometown with the fam and had a lot of great food yesterday. Some more leftovers this morning, scrambled up with some eggs with the ham, and it was fantastic. So I'm feeling good. Any favorite dishes you had so far this week, Croc?
Mac and cheese will always be my favorite on Thanksgiving, okay. But I was highly disappointed with my family. There was no ham. There was no ham.
Oh.
I can't tell you how disappointed I was. I don't even think I had any meat. I just had a bunch of sides.
I mean, I'm all about the sides when it comes to Thanksgiving. I got to shout out my family, my mother and father-in-law, and my wife, who put together probably the best tasting turkey I've ever had on Thanksgiving yesterday. And I'm usually not big on the turkey, and they nailed it. The ham was great. Had the leftover ham with the eggs this morning. Tons of desserts. Fantastic stuff. So
the best tasting turkey is like being the best center in the NBA. Like, nobody cares.
I like that. I like that a lot. going ham, Brian says in the chat. Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. So from M. Alex here, Trey Rehab going up. Seeing Trey Lance's rehab after Monday Night Football this week, seeing him kind of moving around, doing some things. Good to see him without stuff all over his legs and moving. And that's a great sign. It's looking like he's going to be able to have sort of a 100% off season. I don't think it means he's going to play it all this year. And to be honest, with the way the 49ers are going, I don't think you would mess with that anyway. And just late in the year, all of a sudden throw a young quarterback back into the mix who hasn't been practicing all year. Right. So when Kyle Shanahan said earlier on in the year, even when there were reports that maybe, you know, however many weeks this injury is, usually maybe he'll be ready to go at the end of the year. Kyle Shanahan kind of crushed that earlier on. I don't know if he would reevaluate that, but if nothing else, it's just great to see Trey moving around and the rehab's going well.
Yeah, you know, there's a human element of it that I always try to bring context to. And, you know, I see the posts on social media and everybody's like, oh, you know, but you don't need him. Trade him away. You know, look, at the end of the day, this kid snapped his ankle. We watched him pretty much be kind of crying, getting carted off of the field. You saw all of his teammates kind of rally around him and, hey, man, we got you. And for me, it's just good to see a kid on his feet, moving around, doing subtle movements. No knee brace, no walking boot, no knee brace, no ankle boot, no crutches or anything like that. He's just on his own, moving around. I think just for him, the human element of it and probably what that does to his psyche, and I can only imagine the mental gymnastics that's been going on in his head throughout this entire year. It's good to see him moving around. So I was just happy for him from that standpoint, and pretty cool to see him on the field. He had all that bling bling on. I mean, goodness gracious, I almost got blinded looking at the screen. So, but all together, really good to see Trey Lance on his feet moving around. Great stuff.
Spy Nick Danger in the chat says, luckily we didn't draft Zach Wilson. It's been an odd up and down for all the quarterbacks that were drafted in 2021. And I would caution people not to claim victory too early or claim defeat too early. We've seen Justin Fields who was called Bustin' Fields start to play a lot better. Zach Wilson now getting benched this week in week 12, Trey Lance getting hurt. And all of a sudden, Mac Jones, who'd been awful this year, and still you look at his overall numbers, he's got like 6 touchdowns to 7 interceptions, but looked really good on Thursday. It was probably his best game of the year, right? So it's just so up and down with all these young quarterbacks. I would caution. I think next year we'll really start to learn a lot about all these guys and know, because look, Tua, we thought he was a bust. Josh Allen did not look good going into their third years. All of a sudden, third year, boom, taken off. So it can take some time with a lot of these guys. So I would caution with all these quarterbacks, with Trey, with Zach Wilson. Yeah, we just don't know yet. It takes time in the NFL. And hopefully the injuries and the lack of playing time for Trey Lance, you know, in his life really haven't set him so far back that it's going to be that much more difficult for him to get his career going. And it could take a while. Be patient even when he's ready. And that's what would be my response to a few folks in the chat. Says K-Dot says, if healthy, I don't understand why Trey can't play. Last I heard, you don't lose your starting job to an injury. This is a very different situation, though. And I would preach caution and patience as it pertains to Trey Lance from this point forward, and really from the point he was drafted forward.
Yeah. It's not like Alex Smith, he got the concussion. And typically, I think that's more of a scenario where you say you don't lose your job to injury, right? Where you might only be out one game, and then that one game turns into you just never start again for that team, right? Right. Like that typically doesn't happen. But I think, you know, when you snap your ankle second game of the season and you have Jimmy Garoppolo playing probably arguably his best football that he's played as a 49er, I think you kind of continue with that. There already were grumbles about the locker room and the quarterback situation and guys preferring one quarterback over the other. I don't think you, even if Trey Lance is healthy, say, all right, we're going to activate Trey Lance and we're going to start him, even though Jimmy Garoppolo is playing his best football and what's going on right now. I just would not create that type of dynamic in the locker room. You get him healthy, get that confidence back in him. The situation with Jimmy Garoppolo, you let it play out this offseason. I'd assume he's, you know, moving on based on how his contract is structured with no trade clause and no franchise tag. And then you move forward with Trey Lance next year. Like, again, that's just right now, that's how I would see it playing out. We'll see how things change. But I wouldn't mess around with anything that right now.
God forbid there's an injury to Garoppolo, though. And then Trey Lance is at the point where he's ready to go. You probably go Trey over Purdy, right?
Then that changes things. But I don't want to change whatever plan you have. And I talk about this even with the development of quarterbacks and whatnot. Whatever plan you have, you stick to that plan. I wouldn't veer off of that plan because all of a sudden Jimmy gets hurt and then we got to go with Brock Purdy. If your plan was to sit Trey Lance for the rest of this year and just let him get healthy, get the mental reps, etc., you stick to that plan regardless of if a player gets hurt.
Speaking of
I don't
Jimmy
like
Garoppolo.
The yanking and this and back and not having a plan. And a lot of this situation has felt like that.
Yeah.
That's you do something and then you stick to it, which they did, right? Trey Lance is our quarterback. We're sticking with that. Trey Lance was a starting quarterback, right?
Yes.
You stick to your plan. That was the plan until he got hurt. Kyle came out. He's not playing this year. You know, he's hurt, whatever. Like, so you just keep it at that.
It's like you don't want it to become the tail is wagging the dog with that sort of situation where you're letting all the other circumstances dictate what you're doing. You got to, especially with the way Jimmy Garoppolo is playing right now, it'd be insanity to change that. And we'll see what Jimmy's looking like later in the year. But like right now, it's hard to say that you should replace Jimmy Garoppolo with nearly any quarterback in the league. Like he's outplaying Aaron Rodgers. He's outplaying Tom Brady right now.
I've been watching Josh Allen and he made a special throw at the end of the game. So those are the things, right? When we start talking about quarterbacks, right? Because Josh Allen, he was erratic in the last game. Over the past month, he's looked more like first or second year Josh Allen, as opposed to MVP candidate Josh Allen that we've gotten a little accustomed to you know, seeing over the last couple of years. And, you know, you watch him and there's ups and downs and ups and downs. And then game is on the line and he just fires a missile like 35 yards in the air. It felt like it was like 6 feet off the ground the whole time. The safety that's closing, he's doing his job. He's in a great position to break the pass up, and it's not good enough because this missile that this quarterback throws. And I think when you start talking about the difference in quarterbacks, and Jimmy does a lot of really good things, But you watch something like that, and it's like, oh, that, you know, I see the difference with that, but not so much throughout the game. And I think that's the difference with people, how people view these quarterbacks. There's not as drastic. When the quarterbacks are good, right, and a quarterback's playing this at as high of a level as Jimmy Garoppolo is playing that right now, there's not this drastic difference in the results that you're getting from play to play. It's that one or two or three plays in the game where you're saying, this guy might not be able to do that, right? You know? Right. And when Josh Allen did that, again, he's done some really weird things, thrown interceptable passes, threw a ball short to Diggs that almost hit him in the feet. There was a lot of weird stuff. But 23 seconds on the clock was too much time. And that's when, you know, it's different.
That's where the special part comes in. And it was the same way with the Chiefs the week before, right? It was like, you left too much time for Patrick Mahomes. Like, you know, of course, now can the Chargers go score again? Because, you know, you just scored, but you know you're giving the ball back to Mahomes. You know they're going to score. So now you got to come back and score again. And right. That's what you get with those types of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the injury report for the 49ers. Some new news on Arik Armstead. Get into the chat a little bit. What do the 49ers have to do to beat the New Orleans Saints in week 12. Today's episode brought to you by Prize Picks. How easy is Prize Picks daily fantasy? Well, I'll tell you, entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. We can make an entry for Prize Picks right now while we're doing this ad. All you do is you pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. It's that easy. You're not picking an entire roster, just 2 to 5 players. You pick 2 players right now for the 49ers and the Saints. Say, look, Jimmy Garoppolo's going to pass for more yards than that, and Andy Dalton's going to pass for less yardage than those projections at Prize Picks. Boom, you are done. You're not picking an entire team. You're not playing against a pool of fantasy sharks. It's just you versus those projections available at Prize Picks. Tons of NFL projections are available, NBA, PGA, golf. This is daily fantasy, so we're talking whatever's going on every day. You can find projections to play with at Prize Picks. Cricket, disc golf, boxing, MMA, NASCAR, tennis, even esports, you name it, you can find it at Prize Picks. So download the app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. And thanks again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen today. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show daily, as well as Locked On NFL Draft featuring one Arik Crocker. Things starting to heat up, right? This is a fun time of the year for college sports and draft stuff. Unfortunately for 49ers fans, look, the fortunate part for 49ers fans is they're in it. They're in it to win it. Got a fun roster, tons of playmakers. The unfortunate part is when the season does finally end, hopefully that happens in February, no picks in the top 100 might get a little lean there. Might have to look deep into those Senior Bowl rosters this year for the 49ers, right?
Yeah, and we need that content in the offseason. You didn't have a first-round pick last year. We had to kind of make do with it, and you didn't have your first pick until pick 61, and, you know, we still somewhat kept people interested, but there's nothing like having, what, the number 12 pick in the draft, and then you trade up for the number 3 and what the numbers look like on the chart during that time as opposed to last year, knowing you don't have a pick for, you know, the first 60 picks. So the draft will be interesting. I'd say right now covering the draft and the prospects is an interesting time because you still haven't done a deep dive into prospects, but you try to stay as informed as possible. But it will be still fun, and you and I will find different ways to keep everyone intrigued with what's going on in the draft.
Oh yeah, and we'll have plenty of players to talk about, and it just makes the conversation more broad and bigger. It's like how high could you trade up, right? Because they'll have multiple comp picks in that late 3. So do they get up into the top 100? Do they get all the way up into the top 50? So you can kind of start looking at second round prospects who might fall out of the round 1. You can look at a ton of mid to late round prospects as well for the 49ers. So it'll definitely be a lot of fun. Looking ahead to week 12 this week, Croc, and the injury report quite small for the 49ers. Like, the Niners are in such a good place right now. It almost worries me that things are going too good for the 49ers right now, right, Croc? There's only four names on the injury report, and one of those is Trent Williams, who just taken a veteran rest day on Wednesday at practice. And when you look at where the 49ers are now at the top of the West and how they're playing, putting together such great football on both sides of the ball, Jimmy Garoppolo's cut his turnover-worthy throws in half, just high-efficiency offense right now. You have nothing except for excitement with the 49ers right now. And so I don't even know what to do because everything's so positive. It's like, something has to go wrong, right? Because you can't just roll like this. And maybe this is what it's going to be from week 12 on for the Niners, just rolling over people, because they could be. And I would not want to face the 49ers if I was any team in the league right now. One player, Croc, that the 49ers will not have this week is Arik Armstead. But we do have some information that Arik Armstead is going to start practicing. And so maybe start looking ahead to week 13. Might have an opportunity to see Arik Armstead on the field, but he is already listed as out for this week.
If you want to be a little cautious or cautiously optimistic about what's been going on, last three games, 49ers have won. We know, like, all the storylines, not giving up a score in the second half. That has been amazing. You also played a bad Rams team. You played a Chiefs, Chargers team without their top, three receivers, no Keenan Allen, no Mike Williams, no Guyton, and then you play Arizona without their starting quarterback and missing their whole O-line. So there is a little context to some of the wins that the 49ers have gotten, but who cares? A win is a win. It's hard to get wins in the NFL, and right now you want to just continue to build on that momentum. We've been trying to figure out, who is this 49ers team? What are they? How good can they be? And part of being good, winning the games that you're supposed to win. So if you're playing teams that are a little shorthanded, then you have to dominate in a fashion that shows, hey, they're shorthanded. We are the more superior team. I think they did that, and I want to see them continue to do things like that when they go and face the Saints. Saints have injuries. They're kind of banged up a little bit. Andy Dalton, that quarterback, can't let that team beat you. You got to go, and you have to look like the team people expect you to be, the team that people expect you to be headed into this season. And we saw some lows, and we're trying to figure out, who is this team? I think right now they're starting to look more like what we expected. Now, just got to keep it rolling, regardless of who you play against.
Scott says, what's up with Dre's wrist arm? I just got here. Not sure if it was already talked about. We haven't mentioned Dre Greenlaw because Dre Greenlaw is not on the injury report. So that tells me it's good news on Dre Greenlaw to be able to start and play in this football game. Arik Armstead will start to practice. He's going to be out. Trent Williams had a rest day this week. Samson Abelcom limited in practice Wednesday with the quad and Achilles that he's been dealing with, which usually bodes well. If you start the week limited, usually are full by the end of the week. Not always, but it's a good sign there. And probably the biggest news on the injury report, aside from Arik Armstead coming back to practice soon, is that Deebo Samuel has popped up on the injury report with a hamstring from last week. Limited to start the week. We'll have to really see how that goes as it gets closer to Sunday. But again, limited to start the week usually means you're on a path to be full, and you're just making sure players don't, you know, re-injure themselves, hurt themselves more. So probably fairly good news on Deebo Samuel that he's just not completely practicing or something like that. And we don't have the Friday practice report yet, so we'll see what that looks like to end the week for Deebo Samuel. But he did start the week limited with a hamstring. I'm trying to put my finger on, Croc, before we get into our full-on keys to victory. Christian McCaffrey's we talked about this earlier this week and watching how Jimmy's playing. Do you think the way Jimmy's playing is more about Jimmy or more about Kyle or more about having all the weapons with Christian McCaffrey coming onto the team and giving him that little outlet maybe that he's never had before to allow him to play freely? Because with McCaffrey, he's not out rushing Elijah Mitchell, right? He's not being super heavily targeted in the passing game, but it's almost like he's this glue guy that's really filling in all the gaps, and you can't put a finger on exactly the one thing he's doing. He's kind of just doing everything else that needs to be done, and it's been absolutely helpful to have Christian McCaffrey. But is that the reason that Jimmy Garoppolo's playing so well, or do you think it's all upstairs for Jimmy G right now?
I think it's a combination of all three things. Let's start with the play caller, Kyle Shanahan. We know how good of a play caller he is. And when you look at the All-22, a lot of times you see guys running open. And there were times where we're like, man, it's there, but lack of execution, right? And I'm saying, well, we're still going to put that on Kyle Shanahan because he's the one that is the coach of this team. Now, Jimmy G, the great thing he's done, especially over these three games, he has not turned the ball over. He's not even really throwing turnover-worthy passes. And he's making all the right decisions, which leads to the third part to that with Christian McCaffrey. He has been a tremendous outlet. You know, I talk about Jimmy Garoppolo a lot, or a lot of people talk about him being like this check-down quarterback. I'm like, Jimmy doesn't check down throws. What he does is play within the context of the offense. He gets the ball out of his hands really quick. He likes to play with timing and rhythm. One thing that McCaffrey has allowed him to do was having a legit outlet, right? And he is very comfortable, one, knowing where he's at, and then throwing to him. So on passes where he might have forced a throw over the middle, it might be a little high or a little off target, ends up getting intercepted. He's not doing that now. He's looking, okay, well, it's not there, quite there. I don't have to force it. I know where Christian McCaffrey is. He's going to be open. He's going to catch the ball. And he's throwing to him as kind of a safety blanket. And I think that has really helped a ton. So I think all three, Jimmy Garoppolo being a better decision maker. You have a lot of weapons, utilizing those guys. And if all fails, yeah, man, we got Christian McCaffrey. I know exactly where he's going to be for my checkdown.
BSE brings a good point that's really hard to know. But Brian Greasy, like, how much is he helping out? Right? Could be helping out a lot, could be nothing. I don't know. But clearly Jimmy Garoppolo's playing some of his best football. Probably his best game as a 49er, I think, was on Monday Night Football. Love seeing it. Love seeing, like, there was the McCaffrey throw a couple weeks ago where he starts to get out of the pocket. McCaffrey takes off. He hits him in the end zone for a touchdown. There was a play with George Kittle that I point to on Monday Night Football. Those are the big plays right there. Buda Baker's trying to get that interception, trying to be aggressive. And those, like, I feel like a lot of Garoppolo's picks too are, you know, the in-breaking routes, the dig routes, the things that the defense knows is coming. And he kind of throws his interceptions to the good players, right? To the Jesse Bates of the world and like the Harrison Smiths and the Eric Kendricks, you know, like the guys that are one step ahead mentally and are able to make those plays. And you see Buda Baker try to jump in front of the dig route for George Kittle, and George Kittle recognizes it. Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't force it in there, doesn't throw it, takes an extra step. Kittle sees that, breaks off his route, goes up the field, boom, big play, touchdown, right? Like, those are the types of things I love seeing. Gets me really excited because that's a recognition of what's going on. What are these teams trying to do to you? Because if I'm playing the 49ers, I'm like, dude, I'm coaching my DBs, jump the hell out of the dig routes because he might throw it to you, you know? Right. And like, it's been years of it. And so the second reaction plays. So not only are you not throwing interceptions, you're those turnover worthy throws are becoming positive plays. They're becoming, in some cases, touchdowns instead of interceptions or even incompletions. And that's massive. And that with what the 49ers have on offense and defense, that just opens up new horizons, and that's got to be frightening for teams around the league. And it makes Garoppolo such a crazy efficient quarterback in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So exciting stuff, and you hope that continues.
And it kind of is, I don't want to say upsetting, but can't franchise tag him. You can't do a tag and trade. What would his value be right now? Now, the season hasn't ended yet, right? And you got to keep him healthy. And you have to play well like this in the postseason. And we've seen kind of a taper off with him for various reasons last year. There were the injuries heading into the postseason. Prior to that, I don't know what the issue were in that Super Bowl run. But you got to play better in the postseason. People got to see that. And then his value is going to be up. You know, this is a guy who I'd expect. If he continues to play at this level, I don't see how he doesn't get $35-plus million a year. 35 to 40 million?
Dude, so last offseason, he was worth whatever Carson Wentz got. That was Jimmy Garoppolo would play for Washington right now if he didn't have to have that shoulder surgery. We've found that out. That's been reported since. So a couple of third-round picks, which could have become a third and a second-round pick, but that's going to be two-thirds because Wentz isn't playing now because Heineke's playing for Washington. And whatever $27 million, I think it was, that Carson Wentz was getting paid, that's what Garoppolo would have been worth if he keeps playing like this. It's that plus whatever else. So yeah, like Jimmy and no franchise tag. So when quarterbacks that are starting caliber quarterbacks hit the free agent market, we saw what that looked like with Jimmy before with the 49ers. We saw what that looked like with Kirk Cousins in the past. So
Jimmy, so do you think there's a chance some teams get a little desperate?
Oh dude,
teams are going to be desperate for a quarterback.
Yeah.
But I maybe lowballed them with 35 to 40 It could be closer to 43 to 47 potentially.
If you're a team and you need a starting quarterback now, he might be the only option, and there's probably going to be multiple teams that you could put into that category, even if they think they're going to draft a guy that they need someone still to start now and be a stopgap. So even like high-end dollars short term, or maybe that long-term contract, Jimmy G might be getting paid if he stays healthy and keeps playing this type of ball.
Do you think he'll be, would see this level of Garoppolo without McCaffrey, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Kyle Juszczyk, Kyle Shanahan? Terrific offensive line. Like, he didn't get touched last game.
Yeah. If Garoppolo was on the Bears, I think it wouldn't look as good. We'll say that. Clearly, I think it would not look as good because there's still dudes. There's still
which
dudes
most quarterbacks want, we want to make sure, because what do they say about Aaron Rodgers over the last however many years? It's like, well, he doesn't have a number two receiver. You know.
Oh, right. Yeah.
If they make all these excuses. So, I feel like some people make excuses for who they want to, but that would be the thing. Like, most quarterbacks, you need some help.
Yeah, you need some help. But Jimmy's playing well and playing loose. I love seeing it. All right, we'll finish up here with the keys to victory. What do the 49ers have to do to beat the Saints Sunday? If you've thought about securing your home with any type of home security but have been putting it off, you'll want to listen up right now, because Locked On 49ers listeners can order the number one rated Simply Safe home security system for 50% off. Yeah, half off we're talking here. The biggest offer of the year from Simply Safe, so you do not want to miss it. Did you know that over the holidays, property crimes like burglaries and especially package theft spike nationally? That's why our friends at Simply Safe Security are offering 50% off their award-winning security system. You're getting that crystal clear HD live stream of your security cameras. You can monitor that wherever and whenever you want to. A wide array of high-tech sensors, whether it's smoke detectors or window sensors or door sensors for whatever configuration your home needs. You can customize your Simply Safe system any way you want to. It was named the best home security of 2022 by U.S. News and World Report for the third year in a row. And in an emergency, Simply Safe's 24/7 professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from Simply Safe to capture critical evidence so you can get priority response. Don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system we recommend. Get 50% off any new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL. This is their biggest discount of the year, so do not wait. That's simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL. There is no safe like Simply Safe. We think, what comes to mind, Croc, against a team? You're at home, coming off a big win, favored by 9.5. What's the biggest key to victory for you Sunday for the 49ers against the Saints?
No big plays to Chris Olave. I mean, that's a guy who's on pace for well over 1,000 yards right now. He's been a big play magnet down the field. We saw him just run right by Jalen Ramsey, and I don't know if it was some kind of match defense, but whatever it was, it did not matter because he was flying up the field. And he's been a big play guy. I feel like every time I watch the New Orleans Saints, who do I see, getting targeted downfield and doing well? Chris Olave. And he's not just a downfield threat. He's a guy that can win with routes, a very smooth route runner, but man, explosive kid. So Andy Dalton isn't shying away from throwing the ball down the field to him. I think first and foremost, it's limit the big plays. And the 49ers have done a really good job of that, especially with these wins. You got to limit it with Chris Olave as well.
Bobo basically says, show up to the field and you're going to win this game. That's what worries me. That's what worries me, because I think that's the mindset that gets you beat here, right? Looking past an opponent, feeling a little, what did D Ford used to say? Smelling yourself a little bit. If the 49ers are smelling themselves a little bit too much, short week, they traveled twice last week. There is an element of that. And look, I think we've seen it. I mean, we've seen it week in, week out. The NFL is chaos. The 49ers have lost to some bad football teams. Then they've really beat up on some bad football teams recently. The Saints aren't the type of team. I think the Saints are down a little bit right now, but they're not the type of team to be completely pushed over. They've got talent on both sides of the ball. They've got a professional quarterback in Andy Dalton, even though he's not a superstar QB or anything like that. He can facilitate the offense. So you still gotta play, right? You gotta show up and be as into this game as you were in Mexico City on Monday Night Football, or else anybody in the league can beat you at any time. Saw it Thursday with the Bills and the Detroit Lions. Like, if I asked you a month ago, hey, what's the chasm between how good the Bills are and how bad the Lions are? You'd say, well, it's more than you need to make a you need to kick a field goal with 24 seconds.
I'm left. Glad you answered that because I don't know what the hell chasm means. So,
oh, chasm is the the gap. We talking a Grand Canyon okay. gap between between the Bills and the Lions, or is the margin of victory razor thin in the NFL? So the Saints could come to your house and play good and beat you. And so you have to recognize that even though you're flying high right now and the Niners can't go out there beating themselves and looking past the Saints. That's for sure. That's probably my number one key to victory.
Yeah. And you know, that's part of the conversation we've had over the last 2 weeks, right? Playing a Cardinals team that's a little down bad with injuries, playing a team on, you know, at home against the Chargers, who 49ers were heavily favored because of some of the injuries, and they did not have a letdown in those games. So you got to keep that rolling into this game against the Saints. And I feel like maybe with those type of expectations, it looks like they've handled it well. Now they know how to prepare and handle that type of game. And I feel like for the most part, and Kyle's been in some of those type of games late in the year, they typically do a good job playing against and beating the teams they're supposed to. I think you can go back to 2019 losing against the the Atlanta Falcons on the 1 yard line, Julio yep. Jones touchdown. Right. So after you have had win. Some of those letdowns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely can't let that happen in this game. I would say, can the 49ers create the big play? Right. And then last couple of weeks, talk about the Chargers, and you talked about some of the off script plays that Jimmy Garoppolo has really facilitated. The throw to George Kittle last week, they ended up going for a touchdown. The week before, you had one to Ray McCloud. And I think those type of plays are kind of backbreaking because you don't expect the 49ers to have those just super explosive plays with passes down the field. So if you can get one of those, even if it's just one, I think that definitely changes the dynamic of how opposing teams have to defend the 49ers. And I think that's something that can really help.
BSE says, keys to victory, no turnovers, no ill-timed penalties. Don't let Cam Jordan wreck on defense. I agree with all those things. Win up front. The 49ers are a team built to win up front, and when they do, it makes things so much more difficult for their opponents. So I'm looking for Nick Bosa to take advantage of the shaky left tackle situation for the Saints, and you hope the Saints can't take advantage of the wonky right tackle situation for the 49ers right now, right? But
especially look, with Cam, that's where he's lining up over. He's not lining up over Trent Williams, 60 times in the game. Is going to be right over that guy, Mike McGlinchey. Mike McGlinchey played a very good, clean game against the Arizona Cardinals. Can he double back and have another one of those?
What do you think about this on the back end? Dominate 49er says, Mosley was a big loss. I hope it doesn't bite us later down the line. There have been some quarterbacks that have taken some shots in the 49ers and been able to hit some plays, and maybe, Lenore's a step late getting there, or the safeties are a step late getting there to the sideline. There's throws that some quarterbacks can make that maybe Andy Dalton I'm not as worried about either. So I don't know if Dalton's the guy to take advantage, but what have you seen post Mosley with the 49ers secondary? Any worries there either this week or down the line for you?
I think if the 49ers were able to get through last season playing most of the year with Josh Norman and all these reserve guys, I think right now they're in a pretty good situation to be successful, even if you don't have Emmanuel Mosley out there. That's kind of my overall look. Like last year, I didn't think, and a lot of people were like, Croc, you're wrong. I'd say there were moments, right? Like there's moments, but I think you can say that about most teams, even if they have their guys out there, where you can have moments where a guy just gets beat, right? Just talk about Jalen Ramsey getting outran by Chris Olave. So whether it's Jalen Ramsey or it's, I don't know, whoever 49ers seventh, practice squad cornerback is, you have to limit those explosive plays. I think regardless of who the 49ers have had out there, whether it was this year or last year, they've done a really good job of limiting those type of plays. So you got to continue to do that. So, yeah, I don't look at it as just this big issue because you have Lenore there. I think they've done a really good job of understanding how they have to play with some of these guys who they weren't counting on to start the season.
Niner Gang 916 says the next 5 out of 7 games are home games, and even then, we're not leaving the Western United States for the other 2 road games. You have to like the way things are lining up at the second half of the year for the 49ers right now. The way they're playing, how healthy they are coming into Week 12. You get the Saints, who are kind of down right now, 4-7 team. I'm not worried about the Seahawks, Croc. The thing I don't like about the Seahawks game is it's Thursday short week game in Seattle. And those are tough games on the road. Like, that is definitely the toughest game and the most important game in the second half of the season for the 49ers, because you want to win the West, and you know that fixes your seeding. And so you're either 3 or 4 seed at that point. If you're winning the division, probably be the 3 seed, because how bad the NFC South's playing right now. It's going to take 500 to win that division. You got the Bucs, who are not playing their best football, but Tom Brady can go beat anybody. And I think the Bucs are going to be better in the second half than they were the first half. The Raiders are just disastrous. They're Arizona Cardinals level disaster right now. The Cardinals are the other team you're playing. So the last 2 weeks, you got the Raiders and the Cardinals. Can't finish better than that. So I do really like where the 49ers are at. But again, you run the risk, right? You're looking ahead at the Seahawks, and I'm seeing a lot about teams that are the Miami Dolphins. That's one of the toughest games coming up, but they're an AFC team. That's not as important of a game to win as some of the NFC opponents. But you start looking at, like, we need to talk about the Saints, right? Don't need to be talking about the Dolphins right now. And if the 49ers are looking ahead to the Dolphins and Tom Brady and the Seahawks, then that's how you get beat.
Right. Correct. One game at a time. And I'm pretty sure if you had Kyle Shanahan, you know, on this pod right now, he'd tell you the same thing.
Yep, absolutely. That's probably what's going to be preached. Like, the 49ers, don't beat yourselves. That is key to victory number one for the 49ers. You're a better football team. Keep being efficient. Jimmy, don't make that throw. Take a bite out of it. Check it down. You got Christian McCaffrey back there to check it down to. Running the ball, playing D. I wonder if the 49ers can shut a team out in the first half too, as well as the second half. Because, what, they're 54-0 in the last 3 games in the second half. Maybe don't make your defense have to throw a shutout in the second half either.
Got to some slow starts. I saw someone in the chat say 49ers played down to the Chargers first half. You know, when it was 13-3, you definitely could say that. So, yeah, you know, start a little faster.
Start fast and fast. San Francisco 49ers playing great ball. Should be a lot of fun, and I know the house will be rocking in Santa Clara on Sunday. Thanks, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen. Thanks, everybody, for jumping into the live chat. Make sure you're checking out the rest of what the network has to offer. The Peacock and Williamson NFL Show Daily, Locked On NFL Draft Daily, that draft talk heating up. And Croc and I will be back with you after the 49ers Saints in Week 12. Talk to you then, right here, Locked On 49ers.